Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, my message is entitled, Every Good Gift. Every Good Gift. And the question I can ask at this time is, what happens after Christmas? What happens after Christmas? We all, in some way or another, we love Christmas. Most often, giving gifts at Christmas time is a joy for many. Most people are either a gift giver or a gift receiver. Which one are you? But even the person who says none of the above, I would risk saying, you might be deceiving yourself because we're all made with a propensity to either give or to receive. And nothingness is not the response of a healthy person. The person says that I'm not into Christmas, give them a gift and you'll see how into it they are. Nevertheless, that's why so many people love Christmas. And for us who know the Lord, Christmas is about the greatest story because of the greatest gift. Christmas is about the greatest story because of the greatest gift. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 to 23. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. Verse 16, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. Father, thank you for your word, which speaks in such multiple ways that, God, we can never be exhausted preaching this passage, for every day you show us a new thing by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, open up hearts today to receive from the same word of God, from its inception to now, unchanging word because of an unchanging God. So we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, my question today is, would you have heard the angel's voice? Would you have heard the angel's voice? Let's start with the first question. If you would have heard the angel's voice, if you were in Joseph's place, what would you have done? Because you see, we're in a day when it's become more and more difficult to hear the voice of the Lord. And God is speaking. God speaks through the voice of his Holy Spirit to us. In that time of Joseph, he spoke through dreams and visions and angelic forms. But now he speaks clearly to us by the voice of the Holy Spirit within those who know the Lord. That is why when we become saved, we know Holy Spirit is in us and he begins to speak to us. And it's not that God the Holy Spirit has ceased today. He's not ceased communicating to us his word or revealing Christ and the things about Christ to us, but it's us, his creation. We become so distracted with all the world's issues and dilemmas, it's become easier and easier to stop listening to God. If we just look at the news in the GTA, we get just tired and we give up. By the way, we cannot get tired and give up. Look at the ages of these young kids that are doing all these types of crimes. Something has gone crazy, and the church needs to not just shut off, but we need to shout up. The noisy clutter and clatter of our society is overwhelming. And so many are just shutting off completely. But when you shut off, many people also shut out the voice of the Holy Spirit, because our lifeline is being able to hear what God is instructing us by his word and his spirit. I must always hear what God is instructing me by his word and his spirit. I cannot separate myself from society. I live in society. I don't have to live with it. I don't have to be it, but I must acknowledge what is going on so that I open myself up to not only seeing it, but as I begin to hear the voice of the Spirit, I'll know how to pray about it. Can you remind yourself of the last time you locked yourself into a quiet place just to hear from God? Not to ask God more, not to beg God for more, not to cry or demand, not to look for what else can I get so I can be better, but just to sit still and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Bible says his sheep knows his voice. Do you know his voice anymore? God's voice is inside us saying, this is the way to go. This is where you're at. This is what you need to do. This is the direction to take. But many people were scrambling, looking for someone to tell us the direction, when only one person can give us the divine direction. Matthew 2 is showing us a story of a human named Joseph. Joseph was flesh and blood, just as you and I are. Jesus came into flesh, but he was of a divine nature. Joseph was just like you and I, and he had to discern God's voice in a vision to know what to do. So such direction only comes when you're spending time with God, when you are waiting on God, and when you are keenly listening and able to say, it's not the voice of the world, but I know it's God who's spoken to me. See, social media has invaded all of our safe spaces, and we must be intentional to recreate this sacred space and sacred time to hear from God. We must recreate this sacred space. I have Google Home. Some of you have Alexa. Some of you have Google. Right now, with all your phones on, I can say, hey, Google, say Jesus. And some of your phones might. I have one up on the upstairs. I have one on the main floor. Recently, the one on the main floor went crazy. And I went, you know what? They're reprogramming you because you're, any of you noticed lately, it just went crazy. I went, AI and you are just too. So I put that main floor one on the basement. And now I yell down the basement, hey, Google. You can't. I won't even let it see me because I don't know. I don't trust them anymore. But the thing about it is, I love playing. I love waking up and going, hey, Google, good morning. And then it starts and it gives me my playlist. But what's wrong is, even in that, we no longer have sacred time and space to hear from God. So we've got to be careful. Even the good tools become our detriment. There are some of you, all I do is I listen to podcasts. Wonderful. A whole bunch of voices telling you what they think. But have you heard what God said? Such direction that we need can only come as we carve out quiet time to listen to God. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. I've always used this as a life verse because I'm a very hyper fast moving person. I move like this, and so people think that I'm always going to live it constantly. No, I live in the quiet confidence of knowing who my God is and making sure, God, I need to hear from you. I don't want to hear everybody else's voice. So while I have a propensity to always be like this, I also have made it my discipline to hear from God. That's a discipline that we must have. Not just, can't always be shouting, can't always be begging, you can't always be asking. Sometimes you just need to be waiting. Are you with me this morning? And in this Christmas season, I'm asking you to consider that. My second question is, would you have believed this child was God's good and perfect gift? If you were Joseph, and the angel said, your Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and this child is going to be a gift to the entire world, would you have believed? Would you have believed? Because he was human. He was flesh. Would you believe that God would use this child to change the world and to change the world even down through the ages to today? Do you believe that God can change the world? Do you believe that God can use people that you know, be it people that you've raised, grandkids and great-grandkids to change the world? Do you still believe it, or have you said, oh, well, God can't do much because nobody can do much? Do you still believe? See, it's a crazy, ungodly world we're in, and it seems difficult to allow yourself to believe that God can bring changes. So then I ask the question, whose voice are you listening to as a good voice? Whose voice are you listening to? Because if you're only hearing all that can't happen, that is not God. My God is a God of the impossible. So who do you believe? Joseph had to make the right choice. Here's the thing, folks, we forget. When Joseph had to flee, it was because there was a wicked king in power. There's no difference to today. Wickedness is prevailing. But Joseph heard a voice that says, take this child, take Mary and this child, and go, because this child is called a sent by God. Would you hear it today, even amidst all the atrocities that are happening? And are you allowing the Spirit of God to redefine to you what God will do versus what men say they will do? Let me touch it this morning. Canadians are becoming so fearful that they're forgetting that God is still and always in control. Do you realize? We have, as Canadians, we're becoming fearful. We sing the song, believe for it, but we don't believe for it. Our faith has to overrule facts. Our faith has to overrule facts. Are you hearing me this morning? The fact is, Canadians are looking at some treacherous waters. That's the fact. Now, what does your faith say? God is still in control. See, if we allow the voices of media and everyone else, we are going to allow boisterous voices to dominate us rather than our faith to dominate us. I want to touch it this morning because that's what God's called me to do. There's still an evangelist in me. So I want to tell you this morning, while we're hearing all the negative news, I need people to rise up in their spirit and say, but God is still in control. Daniel chapter 4, this fits right in today because Joseph was living in a type of day like us. Daniel chapter 4, verse 32 and 34, let me tell you, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he thought he was God. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was God. And I want you to know, while Canada is shaking, the church will not shake with it. Send this word out so that your spirit gets strong as you begin to learn how to pray and listen only to the voice of the Spirit. Here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, go read the story. He was just pontificating and carrying on like God, just as we see in this day. And in Daniel 4, God says through Daniel the prophet, Nebuchadnezzar, he'll be driven from human society. You will live in the fields like the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. Verse 34, after Nebuchadnezzar had gone to eat grass and live in the wild like a crazy man, Bible says in verse 34, after this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to the heaven. My sanity returned, and I praise and worship the Most High God and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. Let me talk to the church this morning and the church worldwide. Donald Trump is not God. God is God. Elon Musk, the new president, is not God. And Donald Trump, the new vice president, is not God. God is still in control. And let me tell you something. I want the church worldwide to begin to pray. God, you gave sanity to humans. Take them out of their minds and let them eat grass until they recognize God is in control. Is there anybody who agrees with me today? Anybody gonna pray with me today? My God is still able. I'm gonna listen to the voice of God for clarity, for calmness. We are a country. We're a nation called Canada. We're a nation under God called Canada. Nobody stands against us. Nobody will bring us down. Ukraine is being brought down by war. And Canada is being brought down by a silent war. But I declare to you today, the remnant of the Lord shall arise and shall declare the God of heaven is in control, and we are going to be a nation of revival. Is there anybody that can shout an amen today? Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Reba sokoriando rasha tarianda. Oh, we have a prayer language that will bind powers and principalities, demon forces, and those, oh God, who have made money their God, your money shall perish with you, because the God of heaven shall reign supreme, and we shall yet stand in the power of his Spirit. Oh. So listen to God's voice for clarity and calmness. For what? For what? I know I have to look at the facts, but I'm going to get clarity from the Word of God. I know I have to look at the fright, but my calmness is going to come from the Holy Spirit, so that I will walk amongst it, but I will not be caught up in it. Are you hearing me this morning? God is still superior. Proverbs 30, verse 4-5, when I believe in his will, this is what Proverbs says. Who but God goes up to the heaven and comes back down? Who holds the wind in his fists? Who wraps up the oceans in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? What is his name? And his son's name? Tell me if you know. Because every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for protection. I should have highlighted that verse, but that's Proverb. You look it up today. Read it for yourself in every version. Proverb chapter 30, verse 4-5. We studied the book of Proverbs this summer. Proverbs says, who holds the world in his hand? Who holds the wind in his hand? The wind blows, no one can stop it. Who holds it in his hand? What is his name? It's the name they don't want to hear, the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He holds everything in his hand. And I'm so thankful he chose me from the creation of the world. That's why James chapter 1 is our passage today. James 1, verse 16-18. Would you put that on the screen for me again, Annie, if you can? Would you put that, because everyone's going to read that this morning. See if you could flip back. I don't know if you can. There you go. Would you all read it for me this morning? James chapter 1, 16-18. Start off. So, Because I'm his prized possession. Because he already came down as the gift from heaven. Because he never changes. And no shifting shadow is in him. A shadow is what's not real. So no shifting of what's not real is in him. He gave birth to us by his word. Who's the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was? So folks, be careful how you receive the gift this Christmas. The world is trying to get rid of the gift and creating everything else. I saw recently on one of those talk shows that 47% of Americans no longer want to celebrate Christmas. We don't have statistics in Canada, but if America's at 47%, that means we're probably at 57%. They want to celebrate the season, but not Christmas. It says that 47% will stay in their pajamas because they don't even want to get dressed to have a family dinner. They want to have pizza and different things. And that's all fine. The foods are all fine because it was never about the food. So that's fine if we start getting rid of all of that. But what's important is when they begin to give up on Christmas, but now we're celebrating every other thing. We stop at work. What's the biggest holiday now? Halloween. Do you see where we're gone, folks? But we need to remember that I'm going to be careful that I receive the gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, this Christmas, and I live it out. Sometimes gifts are obscure, and you're not sure what to do with it. I got to ask you a question. Have you ever received a gift that you're still trying to figure out, and you don't know what to do with it? Anybody just do like this if you got one of those. If you still have it, though, it means that it was very personal to you from the person who gave it because you realize it was a gift of love. I have one of those, and I was going to bring it, and then I picked it up last night, and I went, I can't even bring that in the pulpit. One of my nephews was 11 years old. They were at a craft show, and there was this image, and hands were up, and so my nephew thought that it meant it was praising God, and he took all of his allowance and bought it for Auntie. When I saw it, when you open your gift at Christmas, and I went, oh. Oh. Oh, thank you. I've kept that for over decades now. I use it as a door stopper. Only because he was so innocent when he bought it, and he used his allowance to buy it, and he bought it because he thought it was for his pastor auntie, and I'm looking at this naked thing going, oh Lord, the poor boy, don't know. This is not a gift. But I still have it as the door stopper because I remember, even though it's obscure and it's not good, but the heart was so good and loving and kind that I didn't want to destroy his efforts. Since then, he had bought me really lovely gifts, so thank God. But let me bring this in to say, there are many people who do not realize how much Christ gave up to become God's gift to each one of us. His divine life in heaven had to be abandoned for us, for our sake, so that he would come to earth to redeem us. He came in human form. Jesus Christ was divine. He was God, he became God the Son, but he was the Godhead. And he gave up his divine nature to come to earth so that we would understand any feelings we have. He's already gone through it so that we would know how in a difficult season to stand because he lived in times of oppression. We sometimes forget the gift that God sent us is a gift that may be obscure to many or even at times veiled to us, but it is still the greatest gift that God has ever given. Songwriter says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. Who? A sinner, condemned, unclean. Songwriter goes, how marvelous, how wonderful That's why my song will always be all praise to God. So be thoughtful as you receive God's gift this Christmas. Not the gifts and presents people give you, but the gift of Christ, our Savior. Isaiah 30, remember, in returning to me and resting in me, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. And he charged us, he says, you will have none of it. Would you make sure that Christ is the reason for your Christmas? And so be cautious what you do with this gift after Christmas. Remember, that was my message title. See, many families are realizing kids are getting too many gifts, so they have no value. They add no value to it, yes? Just, give me another one. Give me another one. Because we're now in a society where there's no value added. When there's no value added and the sacrifice not understood, when the sacrifice is not treasured, we become selfish in our attitude and rebellious in our behavior. We're seeing it with the kids. Yes, how many have seen it with kids? But what we forget is that we as adults are acting the same way too. We're not cautious with what to do with the gift that Christ has given us. So when Christmas is here, we're like, oh, I'm all for Christmas, I'm all for Christ. But then we move on. Joseph had to keep on listening to the voice of the Spirit because he realized that if he stopped listening, he'd be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Bible says in Matthew 7, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask of him? What we should be asking God for is not more money to buy more things, but more of your Spirit and your presence so that we impart it to the next generation. It's very important that we do not become calloused in our lifestyle. And even the fact of what we do with our gift giving and gift receiving, we now have made that a collaboration with how we receive Christ, the greatest gift to mankind. Joseph recognized God is giving me the gift of a baby I don't understand. So he says, I'm just going to listen to God what to do. And the Bible says he went up towards Bethlehem. And I want you to know he had to listen to God when to go up, what timing to go up, and what to do. But after the baby was born, the angel came back and spoke to him and said, now leave here and go back. My question is, after Christmas, do you still keep listening to the voice of the Spirit? Or are we just in a temporary time? Because if we're not conscious of the price of the gift, despite its simplicity, we will lose out in the end. Matthew 2, verse 14, that night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, and they stayed there till Herod's death, and it was fulfilled. I'll call my son out of Egypt. Joseph kept on going. And then later on, you see the voice of the Spirit came back and Joseph listened again. They kept on listening for the next step. My question today is, are you continuously listening, or is Christmas just a season for you? Are you continuously receiving the Christ child, or is Christmas just a big, bright holiday festivity and all of that? Because if that's all it is, we're losing out. I love the scripture. And let me just go back to, I'm going to read this part. Verse 19, when Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. And he says, in Egypt, because remember he's now there, says, get up, take the child back to Israel. Folks, you need to keep listening. Oh, God, I prayed for this and that, and he gave it. Did you stop and thank him? Did you listen what next? Or are you just in the moment, for the season, and then it's over, and then we cool off in January. In January, we'll have week of prayer. Well, I don't need to come to week of prayer because I don't need anything. I got everything. I'm going to tell you something. This house had better be full with people for prayer during the week of prayer and onwards because we're coming into some times and seasons. Don't come running in with your emergency prayer. And you didn't get it. When we have a week of prayer where we fast and pray and believe God to set our year and order our steps and we continue to pray. Many, I don't have time for that. I'm busy. I'm back to work. Listen, The gift of Christmas is the same gift in January. So I'm going to encourage you, don't get so busy in January that you can't fast a day and pray like crazy. Because let me tell you, all that we're hearing is going to be facts. But I'm going to stand in faith with the people who know how to stand in faith. And we're going to believe to see what God's going to do. So I encourage you this morning, be listening to the Holy Spirit. Would you this Christmas tune your ears to the heavenly station, which comes from quietness and confidence in Christ? That's why I use that verse, Isaiah 30, so many times in the message. In what? Quietness and confidence. Two words. Quiet means I settle myself. Confidence means I believe what I'm praying. In quietness and confidence shall be your weakness? Talk to me. In quietness and confidence shall be your what? Are we going to be strong over this season? But are we going to be strong after this season? After you've spent all the money on gifts and the big dinners and invited all the family over and you've expensed, folks, I do have to, even in my altered time, how on earth do you families make it in that there Costco? Has anybody ever left Costco under $100? If you did, we want a lesson on how to do that. It's scripted to guide you to grab this and that. You went in. I'm in my altar time, but I went in for bananas. Their banana is $1.69, and I like where it comes from. That's the reason I buy it there. I like the bananas. I went in, $1.69. I came out, $200. I went, next time, eat the banana from the next country. But I'm going to tell you, when we've expensed it all, God is not finished. But the key starts now. Whatever situations are in your life, today, would you spend a moment working through the issues that are plaguing you this Christmas time? In this quiet time and space you're going to carve out, would you start here and allow Holy Spirit to direct you? Joseph heard Mary is pregnant with the Christ child, first time. Then he heard, take this woman, Mary, and bring her to Bethlehem. And then he heard, take Mary and the baby now born and take them back to Israel. He kept on listening. There's some of you going through some situations and you're like, I don't know what to do. I want you to keep on listening. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, every good and perfect gift comes from you. But you gave us the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there are so many people here today going through struggles in their life. Pain, trauma, family dynamics, financial grips, fear of the future, things that are out of control. God, we need your still small voice to speak into our hearts. We need, oh God, the mind of the Spirit to be revealed to your people once again. So, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you, Lord, be among us today so that we will start developing that quiet space where confidence is reestablished, redeveloped, where faith goes out from us up to the heavenlies. So your answers are poured back into our spirits. Help us, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.